Well, good morning. My name is David Posey. my name is on the front door as the preacher here, so I know I'm supposed to be here. It's been quite a while. And I'm going to talk about that a little bit in introduction to the things I want to say this morning. But first, I want to thank you all for your prayers and your kind remarks and your cards and your notes and your texts and everything, every expression of well wishes that you gave me, and I really appreciate that. I'm not used to being in that place, and I have experienced that and really appreciate that. From the bottom of my heart, or for those in the know, from my splunkna, okay, my splunkna. I've had my share of ailments over the years, as we all have, kind of average person in that regard. But since I've been here, 25 years here at Folsom, and then counting really the length of time I've been preaching, I've never missed two times in a row, two preaching moments in a row due to illness. I've gone a time or two, and I think in my total time I've been here, maybe three or four times due to illness. And as this turned out, and with this particular issue, I've missed three in a row, and I preached once in the last 6 weeks. Now, that gave you a chance to hear a lot of really good preaching, so that's a good thing. I heard one sermon was for the birds, but I know I'm probably the 45th person that said that, but I heard it was really good too. So, but all of those, and all those men who stepped in for me, Scott and Jeff and all that, really appreciate that. I thought I had that fixed already. Okay. Just a minute, because I'm obviously going to be a little rusty. What happened? Go back. Oh, hit the little slide button. Is that good? Okay, good. All right. So, in my case, I'm not going to get into any details whatsoever about what I'm dealing with, because it's not important or relevant. But what I wanted to say and kind of get us started with what I'm going to talk about, and we'll actually look at some things from Psalm 42, from which the song we just sang came from. During this period of time, I kind of skirted on the edge of despondency or despair or depression. And I'm the least depressible person I know. I don't know if that's a word, but I rarely get depressed or despondent about anything. I'm just always been optimistic. My mother has been that way, and I kind of take after her. So that was kind of a little bit of a new experience for me, and kind of a frightening experience, because there was a point at which I felt like I just wasn't sure that I was ever going to get past this thing, and that I was going to have to deal with it maybe for the rest of my life, however long that is. Now, I realize as I talk about this morning that what I'm dealing with or what I dealt with pales in comparison to what some of you are dealing with all the time. There are people here who are suffering with various kinds of things, and they deal with it every single day of their life, and their prospect is that that's what they'll be doing for the rest of their life, and I understand that. So I'm not in any way comparing myself to that. The only reason I bring it up is to say that it gave me a little bit of insight, a little bit of perspective on what people deal with when they are depressed or if they are feeling despair or despondent. And this slide didn't come out very well, but when you kind of feel like this person did. So I'm going to speak to that today. Not about me, but about, and to those of you who might be dealing with this. And I want to talk about finding hope in all of this. I kind of like this picture. There's a lot of issues in the world that we have to face, a lot of trials, things that Adam prayed about this morning, a lot of just the vicissitudes of life, the changes that happen, the changes as you get older, the challenges that you face at any age, whether those challenges are on the job or in your relationships or at school or wherever you might be. There's just a whole lot of things that we deal with that are stressful to us and cause stress in our life and cause change or cause us perhaps to need to change, something most of us resist. And there is, though, there is hope in the world. And the first point I want to make is that you're not alone if you feel that way. There are lots of Bible characters who dealt with what I would call despondency or despair. Elijah went up on the mountain after he had had that great victory on Mount Carmel over the idols and over the prophets of Baal. He goes up on this mountain and he prays that God takes his life. I mean, you can't get much more desperate than that and further in despair or despondency than that. Take me now. I don't want to live anymore, he said. Moses had bouts like that primarily because of the way that people were treating him. He got pretty fed up with the people of Israel because they complained all the time. And some of those complaints were directed to him. I'm sure that he felt moments where he was all alone and he felt those times of despair. David's a particularly interesting case. You know that Psalm 22 and verse 1 says, "Why have you forsaken me?" Those are the words of David, King David, a person who was described as a man after God's own heart, and he felt forsaken by God. He was in the pits, as we might say. He was kind of in the depth of despair. Look at Psalm 55. I used this psalm once to write an article and preach a sermon about midlife crisis. But he says, David says in verse 4 of Psalm 55, "My heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fear and trembling come upon me, and horror overwhelms me. And I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness." And the writers or interpreters of the psalm put Selah there for us to pause for a minute and think about that. "I would wander far away. I'd get away." You ever want to get away? You ever just want to fly away? You ever feel that way because of what's going on in your life? "I would hurry to find shelter from the raging wind and the tempest." David dealt with these things. There are at least temporary bouts of depression and despair and all of that. Turn to Psalm 43. 42 and 43. Psalm 42 and 43. Let's read them. "As the deer pants for the flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go to with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God, with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon and from Mount Mizar. Deep calls unto deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All of your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, 'My rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all day long, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and defend my cause against an ungodly people. From the deceitful and unjust man, deliver me. For you are the God in whom I take refuge. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go about mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and I will praise you with the lyre, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." This was written, the superscription on this, the little text you see at the top of the psalm is to the choir master, a maskil of the sons of Korah. A maskil is meant for our instruction. That's this psalm is meant to instruct us. It was of the sons of Korah, but probably about David, probably referring to the time when David's son, Absalom, was chasing him down, trying to take his kingdom from him. His own son was doing that. He's depressed. Verse 5 says he's in turmoil. Turmoil means this a state of great disturbance. So there's a lot of turbulence in his life. You've all been on planes and you've experienced turbulence. This turbulence is happening in his life. We know it's not the first time. We know it won't be the last time. He dealt with all kinds of things. But that's the state he's in. And that state can be described in our words, I think, as depression or at least despondency or despair. I don't need to tell you, I don't need to remind you of the causes for that. I don't need to remind you of the causes for this kind of thing. I mean, whether they're financial issues, whether you have a business failure, whether you have relationship issues, marriage issues, your children issues, well, children issues at one time or another, whatever it might be, and of course, health issues are huge. People have said that if you have your health, you have everything, and I think I came to believe that this past couple months, but there are a lot of things that happen in our life. So the question for us and for this psalmist is, what will he do? What's he going to do about this? These are realities. Some of you are still young and probably, well, I'm not going to say that you don't understand this, because I think you do from a different perspective. I see a lot of kids pretty stressed out about school, or about maybe somebody's bullying them or pressuring them to do things they don't want to do. So this is a subject, I think, that applies to all of us. What do we do when, whatever reason, we are kind of in this place of despondency or despair? The Bible, I think, is the best medicine, so we want to look at the prescription maybe he has for us today. What is the prescription? What is it? There's some practical steps we can take. The first one that we get from the psalm itself is to confront your trouble. Just look it in the eye and deal with it. Deal with the fact that you are in this place. Verse 5, verse 11, and then 43, verse 5, all say the same thing. They say, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" Notice that he's talking to his soul. He's talking to his soul. Have you ever talked to your soul? I'm not sure. What we're doing is we have this kind of self-talk going on in here. And you should talk to your soul. You don't just talk in your head, but talk down deep into your soul. And then ask, "My soul," he's saying, "why are you in turmoil? What's going on? What's que pasa? You know, what's happening, soul? Tell me this." You might want to do this. You might want to do this with earbuds in or something so people won't think you're crazy. But the point here is to talk to yourself a little bit. Talk down deep and confront this thing. What happens, I think, a lot of times is that, and I think this is a strong believer, this is representing a strong believer who is depressed, who doesn't think he should be depressed. I think that's what we're seeing here. And I know that a lot of people, I certainly felt this way, there's no reason for me, by any stretch of the imagination, should I ever be in despair or depressed. Not with the life I've been given. If I drop dead right now, I have been given the greatest life. I'm the most fortunate person in the world. I have no reason to complain about anything. And so when we feel this way, we do question that. We question within. Why am I feeling like this? What is going on? And it's good that we do that. It's good that we confront that. I think the really important point here is that God knows that people deal with this. This psalm, among other things that we can read about in Scripture, this psalm tells us that God knows that people go through this sort of thing. That's why this is in here. Now, in this particular case, David is dealing with some physical enemies, some people who are trying to take his life, trying to take his livelihood, trying to take his kingdom. Ungodly people, enemies. He has every right to complain. We don't have those kinds of physical enemies, perhaps, but we do have a law. There are a lot of different things that bring this on. Depression and despair are real. People deal with these things, and some don't deal with them. Some seek various means to get away from it. The first thing we'll learn from this is deal with it, confront it, and don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel guilty about it. We also need to look for the real source of despair. This is very interesting when we look at this psalm. What is really at the source of what is causing his desperation that we see here? And one thing, of course, is the enemies that are against him. We know that. We've talked about that. But I thought verse 4 is very interesting. It says, "These things I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude keeping festival." David cannot go where he is used to going to get the greatest comfort. He cannot go and assemble with the people that he loves. I was sitting there for the first time in I don't know how long, on Wednesday night, and this just kind of hit me like a ton of bricks. When the song came up, Evan was leading the song, and he was leading the song, and I started singing. And I go, I almost couldn't do it because I hadn't done that in a while. Never in my life have I gone this long without singing with a group of people like this. And it just kind of got choked up, not in a emotional sort of way, just kind of like, but then it did kind of hit me emotional, like, wow, where else do you ever do that? I mean, unless you're in a, maybe like Grant's in a choir or something, and I was in a soldier's chorus once, assume a group of people, but I haven't done that in years. The only time you do that is here. You sit here and you sing songs, and these songs are all praise to God, and you're sitting there. And it was just so different. And it just kind of reminded me of what we miss when we can't be here. So I identify with that. It's a unique experience that we have to be able to gather with people. Turn over to Psalm 84. I think we see the same issue over there. I know we do. Psalm 84. Again, the sons of Korah speaking about someone, maybe David. He says, "How lovely," verse 1, "how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yes, faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh sing for joy to the living God. Even the sparrow finds a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young at your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house, ever singing your praise, Selah." Verse 10, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of wickedness." Just the blessing of being with people. I think that's really the main source of this psalmist's, if it's David's, it's the main source of his despair or his despondency. Think about that. Not being able to go to church. Not being able to go. That's what drives that feeling. Of course, in the meantime, when you don't go into the assembly, you are apart from people who love God. When I come here each week, I am with a concentrated group of people who love God and believe He's everything. When I'm out by myself, when I'm with just doing a few people, I'm looking at, I see the world, in a world that says there is no God. And that's what people are telling him. There's no God. Where's your God now? You got some kind of issue? You got an enemy of some kind? You got some kind of problem? Why isn't God dealing with that? Where's your God now? And so it's a double whammy, so to speak. You're not with the people who love God, and you have more exposure to the people who don't love God, and that's can lead to a lot of despair. The chiding, and I want to throw this in, listening to God deniers is harmful to your spiritual health. Because, and so, the worst thing you can do if you can't come here, don't go on to Twitter or Facebook or any of that. Because there's a whole lot of God deniers on there that will mess you up. Stay away from people who will take you down. In verse 7 of Psalm 42, The psalmist says, deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. Deep calls to deep. It's interesting that in the Hebrew that is tehom el tehom kore. Just like, reminds me of Edgar Allan Poe's poem, The Raven, that's kind of really creepy. You know, once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary. You just kind of got that deep, kind of sad tone to it. Deep calls to deep. Tehom el tehom kore. So he's in the depth of despair. He is in the pits, as we sometimes say. He's down there. And he's dealing with this from that level. And that chiding, that's chiding by the God deniers that's taking him down there. It's not going to go away. These things don't just kind of flutter off. There's no miracle cure. There's no panacea. There's no little pill you can take. You can't go to a pharmacy somewhere and get something that takes your despondency away. It doesn't just work that way. People try that. There are people who have to take medication for various things along this line, and it has its own problems, its own effects to it. There's just very few things you can do about this. There are no pat answers. There's no platitudes that you can throw out. You can watch TV, watch talk shows, and you get plenty of experts passing out answers like In-N-Out sells hamburgers. Or they're gonna offer you the solution to your problem right after a word from our sponsors. You know, it's just like, okay, just wait and I'll give you the answer. And so those answers all fall short, as we know. We try to find this way to higher ground. We try various things, and a lot of those we might put under the heading of self-help. And a few of those things that I thought about are things like grin and bear it. You know, just grin and bear it. This is kind of the American way, right? You're in trouble. You got some issue. Just kind of hide it. Don't share with anybody. Just buck up, grin and bear it, and don't let them see you sweat. What is that? Where does that come from? Pride. That's pride. You're not going to share your foibles because you want to look strong. And we don't want to be vulnerable. And so we just say, I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. How about thinking about the good old days? Look at verse 4. Remember he says, I pour out my soul, I go to the throne of me, and let me go back and let me think about better times. Does that help? Somebody said, to a person in misery, it is a great increase of misery to remember happier times. It doesn't help to go back and think about happier times because you're not in those times right now. One thing I thought about as I looked at verse 4 is to think about how many things we take for granted. The fact that you can come here regularly, the fact that you can live your life the way you live it in a normal way. Those of you who are dealing with some kind of chronic issue know that others are taking a lot of things for granted. Things you normally do for granted. And I kind of reminded me about that. How about just snap out of it? How's that work? Snap out of it. Now, there is a time, because we've said this to our kids plenty of times, you know, they know that. And that's exactly what they needed to hear. Because you only dealt so many whining chips, and pretty soon your friends will cash those in. You say you've used all your whining chips, so you're out of them. You're going to have to move on and snap out of it. But typically, that doesn't work for someone who's really dealing with something at the time, a true kind of despair, depression issue, because you can snap out of it, tends to snap back at you. And it's not very obvious, not very sensitive either to say that. So maybe restrict that to your kids. Don't suggest that to somebody else. We can be reminded how we ought to be, but that doesn't mean we're going to be how we ought to be. You know, just because we're reminded this is how we ought to be doesn't mean we're going to be as we ought. There's got to be a better way. And there are two answers, I think, in Psalm 42:43 that I want to look at. One is that implicit, meaning that it's suggested just by reading the psalm itself, and the other is explicit. It's actually what the psalm is teaching us. And these are answers to despair. And the very first one is to talk to God. Now, before we talked about, as we see the psalmist doing here, you can talk to yourself, right? You're talking to your soul. So you're confronting the fact that you've got this issue and you're dealing with it, and you're confronting that. You're confronting that issue. The psalmist here, though, is talking to God. Even though he feels like God has sort of forgotten him, he's talking to him. It's interesting in Psalm 22, verse 1, when David says, "My God, why has thou forsaken me?" He's actually talking to God, who he says forsaken him. You ever think about that irony there? He's talking to God. "Why have you forsaken me?" He knows God is still listening to him. So we can do what the psalmist does and talk to God. Just talk to God. Don't make it a formal essay. You don't have to have, something to wake God up from heaven. He'll hear you if you just start talking to him. And you can do that anytime. In fact, I'll come back to that a little bit. You don't need prayer language. You don't need any kind of special formula. Just talk to God. That's what the psalmist is doing in these two psalms. The second thing he's doing, and this is the explicit answer, he's saying hope in God three times. Now this would constitute the message of this pair of psalms, right? Hope in God. So with all his struggles that he's really exposing here, all the struggles that he's dealing with here, he says, hope in God. That's the answer. That's his self-talk. I should be hoping in God. In difficult times, the only hope you have is in God. You're not going to find hope anywhere else. What does this mean, to hope in God? Well, the Hebrew word is yakal, to wait or trust. Okay, we kind of know that. We kind of know that hope is something that has to do with the future, and something has to do with patience and to hope, and we trust. And you've heard plenty of sermons and classes on hope, and you know that it means confident expectation, not just expecting something, not just a wish, not a pipe dream, not just kind of, I sure hope this happens, as if it may or may not. When we're talking about hope in the biblical sense, and hope in God, we're talking about hope that is sure, based on promises, based on something we can be sure of. And so with all this stuff that this psalmist is dealing with, he says, as a solution, it's not within me. Why am I cast down? Why is my soul cast down? The answer isn't in here. It's in God. Hope in God. That's where we find a solution to this. Peter calls it a living hope in 1 Peter 1, verse 3. So, what we have to realize is that when he says, I shall again praise him, he's pointing to the future. He's pointing to confidence. And he says, this is going to happen. I shall again praise him. Maybe he's thinking when he says that, even if it's in heaven, even if it's not in this life, there's coming a time when I shall praise him. Job said, I know I'll see my Redeemer again through all of his suffering. Do we have that kind of resolve, that kind of confidence as we go through whatever we're going through? It's really hard, because if you're in some kind of pain, or you're some kind of dealing with some kind of live issue that's staring you in the face, it's really hard to come. And that's why I think you see this psalmist trying to talk himself out of the pits, basically. Kind of chide himself out of there. Why am I cast down? Hope in God. Why am I cast down? Hope in God. Say that three times. Hope in God, not in us. I like Psalm 121, verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. I come back to the point about prayer. You know, when you're going through something really tough, it's one thing during the day, it's another thing during the night. I don't know, if you If you've gone through something, you're suffering some way, and even when you got a, you know, your wife is laying next to you, and you know, but you're laying there in bed, and you feel so lonely. You're dealing with this by yourself in the night, and it's because you've been dealing with it by yourself. If you do that, I mean, unless you realize and have this true relationship with God that you can put a handle on, you say, I really can talk to God, and He's hearing me, regardless of whether anybody else does or not, regardless if there's anybody else to help me. We need to know there are others on our side. One reason He gives us the church is because we can help each other during these times. Again, whatever the problem is, we ought to send cards to all the kids when they got finals or something, maybe, you know, just to kind of help them, because that's a stressful time for them, whatever it is. But to realize that we share in the affirmity, in the infirmity that they're dealing with at that time. And it's great to have others, but there's one other. There's one who matters, and that's God. We hope in God, and when you're in distress, the only hope that counts is the hope you have in God. That's the only hope that counts. He's the only one that can help you. Psalm 56 tells us something that I hope we already know, but that tells us that God really does care for us. It says, you have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? If everybody in the world deserts you, if you feel that, the fact is that this God is for you. You can know that God is for me. What can man do to me? Paul figured that out, Philippians 1, 19. Paul dealt with this because he was constantly under pressure, constantly going through tribulations due to the fact that he was preaching the gospel. So he comes to this conclusion. He says, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Christ, this will turn out for my salvation and my deliverance. As it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not at all be ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by my life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Ultimately, there is a home with God, and ultimately that's where our hope is. It's that hope in God. When I was going through that period, because I'm not depressed in a clinical thing or anything. I never went through that. I just got down like we all do, and had those moments of despair. That's a failure of hope, is what that is. That's a failure of hope. That's a forgetting what's out there, forgetting of what the psalmist is talking about. I shall again praise Him. It's whatever is going on, whatever frustrating problem is happening to you at the time, remembering that God is there for you. And I know I lost my hope for a while and at various times in the midst of all this. So, do I have hope? Do you have hope? I ask this of myself. I ask this of you. How's your hope? Where's your hope? Where is it? Where's your hope? Is it in perfect health? Is it in a trouble-free life? You're gonna like put your hope in that, and bring you back to loved one? Is my hope in bringing back Jolie, Andrew, or Blake, or any of those who we've lost? These young people who we've lost. Is that where my hope is? Is it somehow that's going to happen? Poppy has to face this. That's not where our hope is. Our hope isn't in things just being somehow miraculously all better all at once. The hope has to be somewhere else. And when things happen to us, we can either blame God or go to God. It's one way or another. And those are two choices we have. We either blame God or we hope in God. We either put Him aside, or we go to some fantasy world where things are going to get better all by themselves just because, or we put our hope in God. If we have any hope at all, if I have any hope at all, it all rests in God, in Christ. Psalm 42:8. What that means is, by day, the Lord commands His steadfast love. By day, He shows His love toward me. And it's easy to see in the daylight. It's easy to see and to think about and to reflect on that. We see it all around us. But at night, He's going to give me a song to sing. As I said, sometimes at night when you're dealing with things, that's the more difficult time. And yet He gives us a song to sing. That song is in our prayers to Him. He gives me that right to go to Him and sing a song. That's what my confident expectation in God gives me. And so, as the psalmist says, hope in God. Keep saying it, singing it, writing it, preaching it, teaching it, praying it. Do that. Hope in God. Hope is the path to a higher ground. And in times of distress, that's our only place. That's the only place we can go. I feel sad for those who don't have God in their life. Where do they go? Where do they go? God deniers have no place to go except within. And to stay in that place, no outlet for that. I'm going to end with this. As I was looking at this topic and thinking about it, I ran across a sermon that Andrew Westfall preached, and I had his outline. We went over it. And this is long before he had any idea that he had terminal brain cancer. He had no idea. It wasn't long before, in fact. It was pretty, actually, he had it at the time, but he didn't know it. In any case, he did this sermon here at Folsom. And this is what he said. He said, so the next time you're in extreme physical pain, praise God for the hope of a pain-free heaven. The next time you get frustrated in ailments, praise God for the hope of a new body. The next time you find yourself in turmoil, praise God for the hope of an eternal paradise with Him. I was with him in his, as Christy was, we were with him in his last days, and I really feel that he believed this 100% when the end came, when the time came for him to go. He had embraced this truth. Truth that he preached, probably like I'm doing now, not with any perspective. I'm not going to be here a couple days from now, you know, or any of that kind of thing. I have no idea where I'm going to be. But he, having no idea, wrote some words that then he had to live. He had to live. They became real for him. And right now, as you look at the things he hoped for, he has realized and everything, every fiber of my being believes that he has realized that now. And it's an awesome thing to have a God that we can hand our problems to when we're in the depth of whatever we're in, where we're dealing with. That's what I wanted to say. We do an invitation, and let me just try to tie this into what we've talked about. Your only hope for the future is in a relationship with God. Don't hope for the future. You have to have a relationship with God. If you're not in a relationship with God, you have no hope. Now, how do you get in the relationship with God? You know how to get in the relationship with God? In Acts 22:16, when relating his conversion, Paul said that Ananias said, "Now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sin, and wash away sins, calling on his name." That's the way you get into that relationship after you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and repent of your sins and confess his name. This is what you do. So why? What are you waiting for? Answer for yourself the question that Ananias asked Paul. Why do you tarry? What's the deal? Why are you waiting? Think about that as we stand and sing.
My hope is built.